It's Sunday morning, Mother's Day, May 8th.
And Harvey's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
And happy birthday.
Who's birthday?
Harvey.
Oh, yours.
I'm young. Young and hurt.
You look younger than 70.
You look younger than grandma.
Yeah.
Oh, these are all really
Yeah.
Older than 30, under 100.
Well, what you're doing is trying not to set the bar too high, and I think you managed to do that.
You know what? I'm pretty good at
it. It is funny, as you get older, your birthday hits, and the first thing I wake up, I go, I don't feel any different than yesterday. Why worry about it? Because someone said, God's in control.
Lord, we ask for your spirit to be with us today, that your truth would flow, O Lord, your very nature would be in the midst of us, that we would be able to draw from that, that we would receive all the good things that you have for your children, Lord, that you your particular blessing and hand of healing would be on Pablo, but each one of us, Lord, that could use more of you in the way of healing, in the way of strength, in the way of just your very nature, Lord. Do that good work, and that we would know you better by the time the service is over today, by your spirit.
Amen.
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 Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God and not unto men, because no man understands him. So how does he speak to men through a tongue then, if nobody understands it? Well, it says in the 8th chapter of Romans, I'll read it right here. It says, likewise, this is in 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, it also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When Jesus was praying, I think before he hung on the cross, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And one of the things, what this was a definite understanding of the difference between a man and God. He was saying, I have a will, but my will does not line up with the Father's will. So what I want is the will of the Father to be done instead of mine. And it took me a lot of years before I began to realize that we all have a will. We all have something we want. But God's will always supersedes our will. And so what he wants is what we want. If we be sure. And the thing is, it's hard to imagine that God is so big that he can determine the will or have the right will for every person when there are zillions of us. But that's how big he is. And I got it.
Let me go ahead and do that. Huh?
I got it.
I almost got it. But we have been talking about a number of scriptures lately out of 2 Corinthians. And I'm not sure where in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It says, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I didn't think we're supposed to war at all. But that's not what it says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then the verses that I have separated for years, and I just begin to realize they're all part of each other. It says, casting down imagination, images. Things that we have in our mind that are probably not accurate. And like the Trinity. If people believe in the Trinity, they also have an image of a Trinity. And and it says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And of course, the Trinity does that. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're starting to get an understanding. I mean, I've begun to realize that the tongues is a supernatural prayer language. And not everybody understands that. As a matter of fact, people speak in tongues and don't understand it. And yet, God has ordained it for a reason. And the reason is because God causes us to pray according to his will. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had a different kind of an experience than anybody that I've ever been aware of. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It must have lasted a good hour. And so that when I realized where I was at, and I started looking around, almost everybody was gone. You know, just a handful of people were left. And I couldn't talk in English. That's how profound it was. And I had to have Joanne drive home, she wasn't familiar with. We were downtown Seattle. And it didn't take me very long to start telling people about what had happened. And quite a few people began to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Scott and Bonnie Hartley, they may hear this. They were friends of ours, and they were going to do what they call a stewardship drive. They were over it. And they couldn't find anybody to help them, so they got me, who was always, ready to do something. And I sat down at their house. They were working on their garage. And we were trying to talk about stewardship, and there was not anything I could talk about except what happened. And so I kept telling them what had happened, and finally Scott says, well, we might as well talk about what you're talking about. He says, because that's the only thing you're interested in. And I said, it kind of is. And that night, it had such an impact on Bonnie that night, in the middle of the night, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it made Scott so jealous that I think the next day he did. That's the way it used to happen to us. It happened that way in this church years ago. And somehow we've kind of lost something. I don't know what we've lost, but we've lost something. And I begin to realize that. For people to speak in tongues is not some magical gift. As a matter of fact, it's something that God has ordained. He has set it up. And it says, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? It says, by faith. Well,
that
faith.
Sounds like a magical gift, kind of.
Pardon?
That sounds like a magical gift, kind of.
Yeah.
So
it does, but all of the boys were filled with the Spirit, and when they're little, and we saw a lot of people that made a real major difference in what we were doing. But anyway,
it is odd that. There in Isaiah 28 that you were reading from, it says, with stammering lips and an unknown tongue, he will speak to his people. And yet, then, no man understands what's being said. what's with that? And there's no question, Paul says in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians there, that what is being talked about there in Isaiah 28, that's speaking in tongues. He specifically adopts that. So it's not like he's talking about some other deal. He's talking about the same deal. But on the one hand, God speaks to his people with tongues. And on the other hand, nobody knows what the heck is being said when you speak in tongues. So I think there's a way through it. God speaks to his people in the Spirit. Our spirit is edified. And it is,
Paul, the thing that we have to understand is that there are several different applications of tongues that are mentioned in the 1 Corinthians 14. And one of them is tongues that requires an interpretation. One of them is tongues for the personal edification of people. And one of them is for the interest level of the new people. It's not necessary for older people because they're familiar with it. But Paul said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than all of you. So, and yet it would appear that he is magnifying the gift of prophecy and minimizing the gift of tongues. And that's what it appears to be. But that is really not what it says. It's just one of those chapters where what you do is you read it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. And at 999 ninth time, you get a little bit of an idea what you're reading. And it's a spiritual understanding. It's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual realm. I saw an unbelievable few years when I got filled with the Spirit. I saw a lot of people healed. I saw a lot of people saved. I saw a lot of people filled with the Spirit. And a woman from the Pentecostal Assembly in Eau Claire gave a prophecy over that church. Her name was Ethel Hansen. I finally ended up meeting her. And she told the pastor, she says, God is going to visit this church in 5 years. And it's up to you, because if you let God do what he wants to do, you're going to have a powerful work of the Spirit. If you don't, you're not going to have a church. Well, as it happened, he was gung-ho, he was all for it, but his wife really wasn't. And she made it plain, and she said, if you guys want to be Pentecostal, go join a Pentecostal church. And I didn't even know what a Pentecostal church was, but at that point. But anyway, finally it got to the point that he left. The church disbanded because of that. And so, in a way, it was my fault. But it wasn't my fault. I did what God had sent us to do. I didn't even know what he sent me to do, but that's what happened. Anyway, if anything reveals to another one, it sets by them at the first, and then treats them at the first hold his peace. Is that what it says?
What?
It says, how is it, brethren, when you come together? One has this, one has that, one has something else. You know? Mm-hmm. But it says, if anything be revealed to another that sets by, let the rest hold their peace, mm-hmm. so that everybody may learn. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah. You were opening the door.
Huh?
So you were opening the door for others.
Yeah.
So all the things that you just said didn't lead anywhere. It was just conversation started for the rest of us to try to close. Mm-hmm. How does the speaking in tongues and all the stuff that you referred to about that, how does that tie into the bringing down strongholds and all of that?
It does.
What about it?
It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is it?
What?
What do we do to pull down strongholds?
Read the next part. I think the next part actually is what it tells you to do.
Casting down imaginations.
Mm-hmm. And then after that is like.
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
The next part.
And bringing into the captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That one. That one seems like the weapon. Doesn't it?
No, you know what? I believe that the weapon that we have is tongues.
Yeah.
I believe that that's what it is.
I think it's the putting into the captivity.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just one. It's all those things.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
They're all weapons.
Mm-hmm. Because then it says in Ephesians, the sixth chapter,
let me say this. The praying tongues, that's an anointment thing, right? Okay. Well, that's kind of just God's, that's more of a God thing. We don't even really know when we're praying in tongues what we're talking about, because that's being anointed to us. But what we do, it seems pretty clear that the main thing that we do have control of is putting all of these things that the devil tries to put in our head, our thoughts, into captivity and bring them to Christ, all the anxieties, all the negative things, everything not of Christ. Those are the things that we should be putting into captivity. And if you don't do that, then you're not protecting yourself, seems like, from the devil.
You make a good point here, Curtis. I guess my own view is that, hey, you are just plain not going to have any luck bringing every thought into captivity of Christ unless there is a big flowing of the Holy Spirit throwing, you know.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. It's the willpower of natural man just is not equipped to do that job. It just isn't. And so, yeah, you have to, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, they just aren't. And so getting yourself in a spiritual place, which is speaking in tongues, you know,
yeah.
I just see as essential to fighting that battle.
And how come it doesn't say speaking in tongues at the end? Why doesn't it say tearing down the strongholds by speaking in tongues? Why doesn't it say that? And why doesn't it say
that? Would have been a good idea, yeah. But,
I think when you speak in tongues, you don't necessarily understand the words you're saying, but you understand the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and you see the results in the spirit.
Sure.
And for me, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without being able to speak to the Lord one-on-one in tongues, because I can't do it in my flesh.
That's pretty wild. I don't speak in tongues, but I feel the same way just about my regular prayers in English.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Right. It doesn't.
It is. There are several places in the scriptures that as we get revelation, we go, why didn't the Lord just add this to this? It would have made this all so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of the goes with this, is to confuse the wise man, that it requires God intervention instead of just reading the recipe book and saying, all right, mix a little of this, a little of that, a little prayer, a little tongues, and boom, yeah, they're in captivity. It just doesn't, it's not going to be that cut and simple, cut and dry and simple. However, I do think there's a lot that's being implied, and if you continue to seek, things become clearer. Even though they're not said, but I think what's being shared is all good and all point to that point. That on one hand, there's a really big revelation, and we want to be bringing all our thoughts into captivity of Christ, which is really, you know, you just take that and you go, hey, you know, let's think on that a little bit. That's kind of a cornerstone thing.
Right.
Then okay, that's what I want to do. How do I do that? And then it's where, well, there's ways that can be done, but the leap you don't want to make is, I figured it out. He told me which of those is the right way to go. And so I think you have to continue to spend time, what's the word, the scripture, day and night, the exact word in scripture. To study or dwell on the word day and night. Sorry.
Meditate.
Thank you, brothers. Meditate on the word day and night to get where you want to get. But I think what's being brought out and what the Lord is showing us is important. I just don't know that we got it completely yet.
Okay.
Now, I do think Curtis makes a good point, though, when he says that it is a matter of bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that you're agreeing with that. So.
Yeah. No, it's, hey, whether we got tongues or whether we don't got tongues, it's every thought has to be in captivity to Christ. I think tongues is important in that deal, but boy, you can have tongues and still have your mind go, not in captivity of Christ.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. It really doesn't, it's not really pointing to tongues in that particular part of the scripture.
Right, well, the first part of it says the thing about tearing down the strongholds, and then the second part of it says the thing about pointing us to the captivity of Christ.
But, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, it definitely gives a pretty hammered thing about what tongues does and doesn't.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But that one thing says that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to do it without tongues, I'll tell you that.
You don't want to put every thought in captivity without tongues? Is that
well, yeah, that and all the rest, you know, all the having the warfare, the spiritual warfare going on in the absence of tongues. I don't want to do that.
Okay. I guess I don't really care how I get there as long as I can do what it says, you know?
Yeah.
It says, finally, my brethren, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having... Is truth important?
Yes, it is.
Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Twyla Bakken down the road, and I have it here someplace. Had a vision years ago, that's back in the 80s, and she saw me standing at the door with a double-edged sword in my hand, whacking people with it. And I didn't know, I have any idea what it meant, and then, except that it looked like it was a bad deal, you know. And then one morning when I was getting to the place where I felt like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to make it. And a voice spoke, the only time it's ever happened, and it said, if you're really serious, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And myself and others that were here begin to realize that we're talking about the Word of God. You can't find God in most churches because they have their own doctrinal viewpoints that are contrary to the Word of God. And so where do you find God? And we realized that it was in the Word of God. And so I started preaching, whatever. And I stuck just with the Word. And we came to the conclusion that the only truth that is what truth is what God meant by what he said. And that's what truth is. As a matter of fact, that's what it says in the Bible. says, take the, as John 17, 17, I can't think how it says it, but.
John 17, 17.
Yeah, help me quick.
While you're looking at it, I'm going to read Ephesians 7, 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
So these two are the Word of the Spirit.
Create a scenario. So, what makes you not give in to something on certain days? Sin. What keeps you from sinning? You go, I don't want to do that. Well, how do you get to where you can do that more times than not? You got to do all of this. It's all building you up as a spiritual man to make spiritual decisions because, but it is your decision. I mean, now, where you might get to a point where something is so strong that you know you can't come against it. So then, you know, it's like, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. But the more truth you have, the more you know what isn't truth, and you can say no. You know, so it's,
that's right.
I don't think we want to say, oh, tongues is the only way you're going to cast down da-da-da or whatever. No. Because actually, in that part, it's just saying, as a spiritual man, you're going to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And the more of them you make right, the better. And so we're not there yet where we make them all correctly and can take every... you know, thought into captivity. Keith shared a long time ago at one point, and I understood what he was saying. He was in a really good spiritual place, and he felt like he was making every thought captive for a period of time. See, and that wasn't just, I don't think you ever referred to it necessarily because you were speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. It was this whole experience of knowing God through His Word. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're trying not to make size necessarily, but we want to know the truth.
That's right, amen.
And in that particular setting, I just think it's more like what Curtis was sharing is you can do that without speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues edifies you, which does a lot of things that can make decisions easier. But there's a lot of other things, too. Truth and love for God and everything. You know, I mean,
daily bread and meditating on the Word.
Yeah, all of that comes in to being, to make you be able to do in Ephesians to put the whole armor on, which is, says it's not, it's faith, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is truth. It's, you know, it's a lot of things there that's armor. The helmet of salvation, you have to be saved to start, you know.
It's one tool of many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why sometimes, you know, I've done it lots of times. You get keyed in and you think, this is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's maybe one way to do it today, you know. But there's every person's a little different, and God knows how to bring every person. So, I just, you know, it's kind of like, I can say one thing for sure. I know there's one answer that is fitting for everything. And that is that the Word of God is truth. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go looking anywhere else beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but other than that, I mean, it's a lot of things that come into play. You know, our walk. And how we can turn away temptation or not turn it away, or, you know.
You know, you would figure, though, that with the whole armor of God, one of those pieces of armor would be, and speaking in the Holy Ghost, you know, speaking in tongues, you know, that's not one of the pieces of the whole armor of God.
Right.
And, you know.
But
why is it that?
Let me say, I love the gift of the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
I use it a lot, all the time.
Sometimes it, I pray in it, which helps me turn away temptation. But that's not always, you know. And I love the fact that I know if I'm doing it, since it edifies me. Well, I definitely need edifying, you know. So the more I can do that, the better. And then, you know, obviously you can speak, and then there can be an interpretation. But that's when God wants to say, now I'm going to tell you what I really mean, you know. In a language you understand, you know. That's why Paul makes a big deal about prophesying is actually more important in the church than speaking in tongues, because it's an understandable language and it's being anointed by God, and, you know, so you don't have to have someone interpret necessarily, because you've already been speaking in a language that everyone is hearing, you know. And that's why that's in a church gathering is much better, because then everyone learns or can learn.
I wanted to say I'm sorry, someone.
My dad is video calling right now.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Dad. How are you? Okay, hold on.
I'm good.
We needed a TV screen. I know, and my phone is all cracked, but that is okay, because Lori that gets to be here.
Do you have a laptop?
I do, but there's not Wi-Fi at the church.
Do you want to use my phone now?
No.
You can't hear?
We can hear.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can't.
No, I meant you can't share your Wi-Fi.
No, I'm on my parents' phone plan, and they don't have that on there, apparently, to have a hotspot.
So.
Yes, but it says that it has to get set up for my parents' phone network, so we'll do that another time.
Whoa, just bring it all around and let everyone say hi.
Nothing's working.
Good to see you, Pablo.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pass the phone around?
This works fine, yeah.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, I use hotspots from different places. I have, you know, codes.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like you set it up through your phone plan.
I used to have a hotspot, okay.
I am rude.
But, Dad, do you have anything to say?
You're doing amazing.
The ceiling? Yeah, it's just a phone ringing, no big deal.
Hello.
Hello, Pablo. Hello.
Body talking, you can't hear anything.
I was just saying to Britt, maybe she has to say something because there's other people talking, and so it's too hard to hear.
Oh, I know. She put him on speaker now.
Hold on.
She's going to talk to him. So we can
see. Okay, Dad, can you talk for a second? I don't, but I've got the ability to just connect over the health sound. Okay, talk again. Yeah. There. You're over the speaker now.
Okay.
You're not able to see, but you can talk and everyone can hear you.
No sound.
Oh, oh, oh,
not too shabby.
Too loud, Dan.
Everyone can hear Dad over the house speaker.
Okay.
So.
Just now? Okay. Well, he said a lot of good stuff, so now summarize it better good stuff.
Okay.
So you don't have anything that you need of the Lord, but things will be different than that.
It's crazy. The guy during the pregnancy is it may seem like you have a lot of need or you need a lot of things and that really I need nothing for the Lord right now. I need nothing. If you guys are fine, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. And I know it makes no sense whatsoever to say this or to hear it, but I'm 100% honest. I'm 100%. 100%. We've got so good, so happy. I'm happy all the time. I'm content. I'm happiness. I'm happy and satisfied. The Lord is doing whatever He's doing in me, He's doing it, and whatever He's doing in me, He's doing it miraculously. I don't know. It's I got so much peace with me, so much joy. I'm in a good place. I feel good, excellent spiritually. I feel excellent in every way. I'm thankful. Thankful for everything. It's good to see every one of you in church, Kelly. Still all the honor. Being where you are. Coming to church. Thank you for doing this thing for me. This, so I can be part of the church this Sunday. I wonder what you're doing. Just go in the corner. Just listen. Why not? Whatever. We can put a theater for a thing. And you can live in the corner there. So. Anyway, so I want to say that I love you guys, all of you, everyone. I know you love me too, but I don't have to be here or nothing. Mm-hmm. But,
we
do. Hey, what's up? There's a girl there. So. Okay, so. Kiss everybody. Bye.
God bless you.
Okay, now I took you off of the thing, but if you want to listen, I can leave the thing so you can listen to the rest.
Okay. Well, he sounds good.
Yes,
he does.
Yeah,
he does.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah, but talk about that, the pulling down the strongholds and casting down imaginations. This seems like that right situation for the devil to just use torture And if he knows that God's in control and God's doing this for his glory and he works all things out, that is all of the things that could be torturing him in his head and then manifesting through him is not. Talk about bringing into captivity all of those things. All of the, how am I going to pay, how am I going to do, I go to the camper, I do this, I do that. That is mighty and powerful, and our weapons are not physical and fleshly and whatever, but that captivity and our heart's position, glory. Glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
So it's Mother's Day, and some of us have to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before we go, I wanted to make one comment. It was interesting because Ken brought it up, so obviously the Lord was sharing something about Ephesians 6, and we were, you know, we were first talking about the Spirit, and we were trying to say, well, why does it mention that specifically? But if you actually look at Ephesians 6:18-19, I think it does infer that the Spirit is involved. It says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance which may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth fully to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I don't see that as a stretch, just to be talking in the Spirit. Because we reference other scriptures where we talk about stammering for utterances as to be speaking in the Spirit. So even though we didn't see the exact talking in tongues usage there, I think it's open that there's some expression of that being made there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. There is such thing as putting too much emphasis on speaking in tongues, I think. Mm-hmm. And probably the service today is useful with respect to that. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, going down to the UPC church and for a service, and you know, the Spirit was sweet, it was nice and everything. But the thing that determined whether I was going to go to heaven or hell was whether I spoke in tongues. You know, if I spoke in tongues, I'm going to heaven. If I didn't speak in tongues, I'm going to hell. It was as easy as that.
And I was in that church for a while. And that it was a total misrepresentation of what it was.
Yeah, the whole gospel. They talk about it being a full gospel. Well, the full gospel is a whole lot more than speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, all of you mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. I just want to read one little section of scripture in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord.
Amen.
That's good. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. And I don't mean to be a stickler on something, but tongues is a lot more important than most of us understand. And it's a lot easier to get than we understand.
Well, it's a gift.
Yes.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have to work hard to get a gift.
The thing is, you can ask for the gift whenever and however you want. You know?
Yeah.
And gifts come in many different ways.
Yeah.
Don Burnett's dad, Russ, believed in speaking in tongues. It was like 5 years before, or at least before, 5 years before he got it. But he prayed for a lot of other people that didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call it good then.
Yeah.
God bless you all. We love you.